Track Industry Program can put you in the winner's circle.
Visit ua-rtip.org today.
Why, in the past decade, has BRL Equine become the premier equine supplement company in the industry? Because we spend millions in research and development before we ever put out a product. Because we use only FDA-supervised facilities to manufacture for us. Because what we say is in them is in them. Because they work. Because if you're not happy, I'll give you your money back. And because top trainers and veterinarians in thoroughbred racing, standardbred racing, three-day eventing, and barrel racing all trust in BRL Equine. Shouldn't you? To find out more how Flexify HA, Unlock, Leader Shield, and EPO Equine can help you, contact me, Joseph Vellante, 215-501-6880.
Sirius XM Sports presents
At the Races with Steve Bick.
Enough! Horse racing, handicapping,
interviews.
This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
We're back. It's hour two at the races and Giving Tuesday. And a big part of the theme today, we'll talk to Aaron Crady from Thoroughbred Charities of America in the third hour. Thanks to Stacy Clark Rogers for her visit. And Tyler Picklesheimer joins us on what certain people might call Erev Turfway. The Turfway season starts tomorrow, Tyler. How you been? Haven't seen you since Kentucky Downs.
No, good. We're getting there. It's been a long couple of years, but we're ready to go. I'm sure we'll have some opening night gremlins, but we always do. So, but we're excited. We're glad to have the building up and running, and we've got a couple good cards out the first couple nights, so we're ready to roll.
Well, and there just seems like there's so much momentum that really the whole circuit is enjoying. It all stems from, of course, Kentucky Downs and the outgrowth of the historic machinery and what it did for, to some degree, first for Ellis and then with the Red Mile and now Churchill and now Turfway. It just has really, the circle is really complete. And of course you're involved year round, whether it's running the racing offices or whether it's up in the steward stand, so you see firsthand what has transpired in the Commonwealth.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, here, just for instance, Turfway, I don't know, what, 4 years ago, our maiden special weight was sub 20,000, maybe 18, 19, somewhere around there, and tomorrow night it's 70. So it's been a game changer here at Turfway and Ellis Park and, like I say, the entire circuit.
Well, the new building, first of all, we've seen pictures, but what do people need to know about being able to watch these races indoors this winter?
Yeah, I mean, just come on out. If you want to book a table, you can go on, I think it's Open Table. You can go on and make a reservation.
Oh, wow.
So it's... It's going to be good. We've got an older suite set up, so if you've got a horse in, you want to come out and have dinner and sit in the older suite, you're welcome to do that as well.
Outstanding. And let's do all the perfunctory stuff in terms of the calendar and in terms of the race days, etc. How are we laid out this year? Any changes from the basic calendar?
Actually, we're going to go 5:55 post time Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. And then Saturday afternoons, we're going to go 12:45 on Saturday afternoons. We're going to keep that schedule through February. Then in March, we're going to drop Wednesdays. We'll come back to 3 days on Wednesdays. So we ended up picking up 8 or 9 days over last year's calendar.
Interesting. So you just sort of spread it slightly differently. And I haven't looked ahead actually yet. When is Ruby Day?
March 25th.
Very good. March 25th.
Yep. And we'll have, Oaks and Derby point races that day. And we've got some, in early March, we have the John Battaglia Memorial and the Cincinnati Trophy. Those are also Derby and Oaks points races as well.
That's true. They've been added. That actually has been, I'm glad you mentioned, that's been a big addition, really, the added opportunity for points and for the lead-in. I'm just pulling up the stakes book. Any other changes to the stakes schedule? I mean, usually...
No, not really. The schedule's pretty much the same this year. Last year, we were fortunate enough to be able to bring back our old stakes schedule and have a stake every week. But we did raise the purses a little bit on the stakes. The Jeff Ruby's now $700,000. The weekend stakes are up to $125,000. And the trophy and the Battaglia, I think we've got them up around $150,000 now. So, no, it's there's something here for everybody.
In terms of the horse population, I mean, you got to be full up. I assume.
Yeah, absolutely. We had about 1,100 stalls to a lot, and we had applications for over 2,000 horses.
Oh my God! Holy cow!
So, and Churchill was kind enough to keep the Spectrum open over the winter, so that's gonna, or trackside, that's gonna help us. They'll probably have another, I don't know, 400 or 500 head down there over the course of the winter, which is, that takes a little pressure off of this barn area.
Well, and let's also mention a topic, Tyler, that came up an hour ago with Mike Stidham. The situation regarding the turf courses, I mean, obviously very few turf races run at Churchill in the November meet, and there's not going to be turf at fairgrounds, at least until, you know, the end of December or beginning of January. And with the kind of money that's available and the synthetic surface, you got to be the recipient of plenty of turf horses that are going to come your way.
Yeah, exactly. The tricky part is again going to be the stall space to accommodate them, because there's just no room at the inn here. So we're trying to juggle some stuff around and you know, make a couple spaces for people to come and, you know, for a long weekend or something. But we'll figure it out. We'll make it work.
Well, and I mentioned, you know, in advance of this conversation, I earlier this morning, and I said, you know, you're within an easy ship of so many regions, and all anybody's got to do is look at these races. Here's the first race tomorrow. You've got Mike Lauer with a horse that last raced at Indiana and Belterra. You've got Jim Watkins, our friend Jim Watkins. He's got a horse coming in last seen at Hawthorne. Larry Smith has got a horse last seen at Laurel in Delaware. Allison Fulmer taking in a horse that raced at Charlestown all summer and fall. Here's a Churchill runner for Kelly Martinez, a Belterra runner, another Indiana, another Belterra. So, you know, you're going to bring these. There's going to be Presque Isle horses, Mountaineer horses, horses from Finger Lakes. You know, it's just a melting pot, and it's one of the reasons, right, that it's so difficult to handicap.
Yep. No, but like you say, I'm sure the candy carriers will figure it out soon enough. And then their track superintendent, Jeff Chapman, he's done a great job getting the track ready. I think the horsemen have been happy with the condition of the surface. So, yeah, like I say, we're looking forward to a big meet.
Well, the betting menu as well, and just glancing, this looks unchanged. You've got an early pick five that starts in race one, and of course, so early evening, and then a late pick four. So that's the approach. There's going to be there is a jackpot pick six that remains a 20-cent concept, but the pick five is early, and then a late pick four. Other than that, it's your fairly standard betting menu, super high five in the last.
Yeah, this is the same, pretty much the same format we've used the last couple of years. And then, when you know, as winter goes on and we, you know, get a couple of cancellations, I'm sure we'll add some nines and tens, and we'll pick up some, you know, another pick five or whatever as we go.
In terms of the condition book, did you have to make many changes? I mean, do you anticipate some more maidens to work with, for instance, late season 2-year-olds and early season 3-year-olds that are staying around?
Yeah, actually, just looking for opportunities to split them. I mean, the last 2 days, I think we've gotten out of the book for one race. So just, as we go, it'll thin out a little bit, I'm sure. But December is always really strong for us.
Well, these first two cards, kind of eye-popping. I'll run it down again. The early pick 5 tomorrow. 10 by 10 by 7 by 11 by 12, late pick 4. The fifth is an overlap race, so you better get this maiden special right. 12 by 12 by 12 by 12 for the late pick 4.
That'll keep him busy.
That'll keep him busy is right, and that part of it. It's a nice mix, too. You got 2-year-old fillies going a mile. You got a mile and a quarter. You must have made a bunch of trainers happy running this race. A mile and a quarter, maiden special.
It's funny. Last year we made it. I spent a few years at Colonial, and we were fortunate to be able to fill a lot of those marathon type races. And I've always had one in here opening day, just to kick it off. And the first year or two, they went, but it was 7 or 8, but they've caught on. Last winter, we ran a bunch of mile and a quarters. Eight other than maiden special weight, 2 other than it didn't matter. We'd throw them up, and they were begging for them. So I think we're going to see more of those over the course of the winter also.
Well, 4-1 on Manjid on the outside, Andy McKeever. Where did he win? Did he win? I saw where Andrew won something. Was it maybe a Churchill closing the weekend? But McKeever's got a Mohaman gelding that is coming off of a turf race at Keeneland where he just missed. The Catman has got one name for Jerry Karoom. How great is this? I love it. Yep. I love it. 8-1 on Karoom with Corrales. And Blue Devil on the rail for Jeff Hiles. 5-2. This is a fun group. You got one name for the Pancake House. This horse should be running at Oaklawn. For Tommy Drury. I love it. And McAfee Farm. Well, Tyler, best of luck to everybody, and safe meet. And of course, the synthetic service goes a long way on that front to a safe meet. And we'll catch up during the season. I'm looking forward to coming for the Jeff Ruby.
All right, sounds good. If you make it out this way, let me know. We'll give you the tour.
Without fail, and get a Walt's Hitching Post visit in.
Yep. Excellent spot.
I love it.
I'm working on reservations for dinner next week there.
Excellent. For those, for horse racing fans for years and years and years, and then they were closed, and now it revitalized.
It was an owner named Billy Melton owned it, and he passed away, I don't know, seems probably 10-plus years ago. Yep. And the family just, I guess, shut the doors, and another group finally came in a couple of years ago and reopened it. And the stakes are good. I mean, and you still, there's a lot of old wind pictures in there and a lot of racing memorabilia. So it's a good spot.
Big time. There's a cradle trophy, or a bassinet. Might be a bassinet trophy. That's in a case. And, what's interesting, for years it competed with all the great rib joints in and around Cincinnati, with Montgomery Inn and the Barn Rib Pit. The reinvention, the new version, is more of a steakhouse, but the ribs are still terrific. So I still go ribs.
Yep, there you go.
Tyler Picklesheimer, everybody. Tyler, I appreciate it. Thanks for this.
All right, thank you.
There we go. Tyler Picklesheimer, they're ready for Turfway to kick off tomorrow. It's a terrific just a terrific couple of first days, and I don't see what's going to prevent it from being worth looking at, you know, every day. So Wednesday, Thursday, Friday evenings, Saturday afternoons. That's the schedule pretty much until spring, and then they will trim back on the Wednesdays in later in the spring. All right, so there you go. All right, we're going to get Papo in here for a visit because I need the late. Usually we talk to Papo late on Tuesdays, but in this case we need Aaron Crady. We need room for Aaron for the late portion of the morning. And Papo joins us. Papo, good morning.
Good morning, Steve. How are you doing this morning?
Excellent. How was Thanksgiving?
Oh, it was great. It was really good. A lot of downtime and relaxation. It was wonderful. So it was a great holiday.
Well, I know I go overboard, but it's my favorite, and we have a lot of fun with it. I didn't even really give the complete review. I'm at that portion though. You get to Tuesday, and there's certain things in the fridge. You got to draw the line, and you say to yourself, well, this looks like we got to move on from this. I did it last night with the coleslaw. Which I had made, I think, on Wednesday. So, by yesterday, it was looking a little soupy, so the coleslaw bit the dust.
I agree. Going over to the in-laws tonight, and it's probably going to be the last of whatever is remaining.
I got soup, though, and as it happens, I think I better, I made two turkeys. So I got the first carcass already made its move. And did the soup. I think I've got to do another. I get the other carcass now and today. And since I'm going to be away a good portion of December, I got to freeze up some stuff for Tina so that she's got. Because otherwise, they'll find her here like a mace. She won't go to the grocery store. So I've got to do. I got to plan all her meals while I'm away.
I got to keep the wife happy.
Well, got to keep her alive. I mean, she would. I kid you not. She will not. She will go to the grocery store if somebody puts a gun in her ribs and makes her go. It's not because she's lazy or anything. It's because she's a school teacher and she runs into 1,000 parents and kids, and the kids come. I've been in the grocery store with her, and the kids come running down the aisle. Mrs. Luke Bick. It's.
Celebrity status. Steve.
Well,
celebrity status.
Every teacher. When we go to the Washington County Fair, same thing. She'll give me one afternoon at the fair. One year she made a prediction. She said, "What's the over under? How many times do you think I'll see a kid today? How many kids?" And I said, "I don't know, 20." She goes, "I'll take 50," and she was right. She literally. We started counting them, and I think I stopped counting at them after about, the first hour. Because of where we live, for those of you that come upstate to Saratoga, I mean, we're in Washington County, one county over from Saratoga County, and the county fair is a big deal. So when we walk through the livestock barns, all the families, she literally has taught every single. Young adult, and even at this point, I mean, she's been teaching 25, 26 years. So she virtually every couple, it's like two generations worth of kids and families as we walk through the cow barn and all of those and every single one. And so she visits and, some kids she hasn't seen in years after graduating and stuff. So. It's always fun. Well, I'm glad you had a nice holiday. More importantly, even, how did we make out on the Form to Win front?
Yeah, Form to Win. I only looked at a couple races, basically due to time constraints and family obligations. But the Clark, I'd like to talk about first. No matter how you did your filters, even if you didn't use a filter and you just did by average projected time, Proxy was the top horse.
Yep.
I'm not sure. I mean, Rich Strike, I think, was ranked fourth on Form to Win, and he went off as the
Second choice.
Yep. So, you know, I mean, Proxy was a third choice. He didn't pay a, you know, not a double-digit payout, but third choice wins it, and it was pretty much a slam dunk. And then the other race was the Seabiscuit out at Del Mar. Top three horses on form to win were Beyond Brilliant, Masters of Hound, and Hong Kong Harry. Hong Kong Harry ended up winning as the 8-5 favorite, but Beyond Brilliant went off at 4-1, and then Master of Hounds was 19-1. So blindly playing those top three horses, the trot paid $86, I think. So that was the way to. We talked about it plenty of times. You take a favorite, you find those prices underneath. You don't put the second and third choices, and you get a decent payout.
Well, and that's, you know, that actually was a kind of a theme that repeated itself a few different places. In fact, you know, not on a form to win front, but you know, James Scully on Friday. James had the concept about, you know, taking Hoosier Philly and trying to build an exacta with, you know, what was going to be one of the, you know, 15 or 20-1 shots, and that's exactly, you know, how it came off. So, you know, even in shorter fields, even in situations where you have a 1-2, in the case of Hoosier Philly, I mean, she paid $296 to win, but Knock Your Socks Off ends up second in here for Chris Block. You know, this was the turf horse that, I mean, bred up and down for turf, and ends up getting up for second at 24-1. And the exacta with a 1-2 shot paid $37.
And yeah, that's the way you make money in this game, Steve. Especially now with the short fields, it's just, I don't know what to do, honestly, Steve. I know it's not going to correct the time anytime soon, but man, it's a problem. The game has to figure out.
Well, in the meantime, you know, having to deal with it, you just, you know, this is how you do it. And, you know, James actually, the other horse that James was suggesting, ended up scratching. So, you know, he suggested a $20 straight exacta, and there you go. I mean, 10 times, $370 for 20. So you end up, you know, turning a 1-2 shot into a 20-1 shot.
Yeah.
That's the leverage.
We talk about it all the time.
Yep.
I mean, there's still ways to make money, even with the short field sizes. So you just gotta have that laser-like
yes.
Precision, and kind of you don't want to spread where you don't have to. You just need to really hammer an opinion.
Exactly right. All right. Well, out of curiosity, I don't know if you pulled up maybe one of those park stakes, or did you look at anything?
Yeah, I looked at those two for
oh,
the
good.
Day.
Good.
The ninth and the tenth. That ninth race, the Future Stars Philly Division, Girl Trouble, on the nine horse at 2-1 is the favorite. I mean, she fits on form to win. I'd be more interested in Mendeleyan, the six horse. Same trainer for Robert Reed, but, you know, Mendeleyan was actually ranked higher, and the price is going to be a little bit higher as well. So I think the race goes through Robert Reed, and I would be interested in the six horse and Mendeleyan. And then in the 10th race, Steve, at Pennsylvania Nursery, I mean, Gordon Knott absolutely fits on form to win. It is the favorite. The one horse also fit at 8-1, Keith Sancello at 8-1, projected to run on par with Gordon Knott. So that's the horse I would be interested in. The price horse for Edward Coletti getting involved in at a nice price.
And you know, that's a funny horse, as it happens, that you bring up. This is one of the Uptown Charlie Browns, the gelding. And it's a goofy name, too, a little bit. Keith Sends Hello, and I'm sure there's a reference there somewhere that I'm not aware of. But the best part is, out of a mare that I've always liked, Bebopalula, she's my baby. Bebopalula, don't mean maybe, and that you know is a 8-1 shot that has never missed the board.
And she ran second to Gordon, not too back. And then showed more progression in her next start last time out when she won by 4.5.
Wow.
I'd be interested in her.
7 furlongs, and Kate DeMasi's horse on the outside, 4-1 winning time. And, you know, we talked yesterday with Butch about 90% Maddie. Won't be any surprise at all at 7-2. Gordian Knot for Lupe Preciado, 3-3. Coming in to this spot unbeaten. This is a nice race. And, of course, Butchie's horse is also unbeaten. But and Butchie said he doesn't think the 7 furlongs will be a problem for her either. That is a consideration because this whole field, nobody has gone past 6 furlongs. I think there might be a couple of 6.5s. Yeah, and in fact, Keith Sensalu has gone 6.5. Actually, All Eyes on You tried 7 furlongs at Parks on the way to breaking the maiden, but cut back to 6 and caught mud. 8-1 for Uriah St. Louis. This is a really fun pair of stakes today at Parks. The 9th and the 10th, 3:31 is post time for the Future Star Philly Group, 75,000, and then the Pennsylvania Breds in the nursery for 200,000. One of the Pennsylvania thoroughbred breeders, you know, lucrative opportunities for PA breds. Excellent. All right, Papo. Look forward to.
Yeah, Steve. I'll be on a plane Friday.
Yeah. So all right.
Be able to catch you then. And basically, it's a full travel day for me. So,
all right. All right.
I'll catch you next week in Arizona.
That's right. That's right. We'll do some live chatting. Excellent.
Yeah, it sounds good. I'm flying out early. I'm driving up to Sedona. So,
you'll love it.
Really?
I love it. Just
love that area. So,
wow.
A little bit of hiking over the weekend, tending my back. And, we'll see you next week.
Outstanding. Papo Morales, everybody. Form to Win here. Form to Win Tuesday. There we go. All right. Let's turn and reach Len Green. And, I'm sure you heard the amusement in my voice when I mentioned that Len was joining us today to announce the winner in the naming contest. So this will here. Let me see which I want to make sure I got the right. I got to call him on his office number, I think, as opposed to the cell. It'll be a little easier if we do that. Let me make sure I got the right. Where is it? All right. Bear with me here 1 second. I think I just got the general. Yeah, this is a little bit of a problem. I've got the, that's the office line. Actually, Kay, you might do better, to reach, Len in this case, if you don't mind. All right. Let me, and work through the switchboard. All right. Because that, let's do that. All right. So Len Green's going to join us. And there's actually two parts to this. And the Greens had a nice stake win, actually, at Woodbine. So I can certainly bring that up with Len. But over and above that, it's getting to be year end. So Len can give you maybe some short strokes on what you need to do here before the end of the year in terms of some of your tax ramifications. All right? So I'm going to ask him about that. And why not? Since it's also Giving Tuesday, let's see about Len helping us with the with charitable donations and how that helps you not that you're writing off donations, but you do get to include charitable gifts, right, on your taxes. So we'll find out all of those things. But when it comes to the horse, you'll see why I'm laughing in a minute, as soon as Len joins us, because I think we're going to have to. I'm going to check with John, and if John, if you're listening, John Green, that we're going to have to name another horse, I think, because of what transpired with this one. All right. Do we have Len? Not yet. Yes. Are they getting them? All right. Opportunity to have Len Green join us. Len, good morning.
Good morning to you, my friend. Okay. How are you today? Okay, good.
Terrific, Len. How was Thanksgiving for you and the family?
We're still living on this somewhere in the past history, some horse won a big race or something that everybody's talking about. And I'm just sitting there trying to do tax projections and stuff like that. I don't know what they're doing. But, yeah, I'm high and high.
That's funny. Len, a couple of things we got to do this morning. And first of all, John joined us and gave our listeners the opportunity to name a horse. And Vino Rosso.
Vino Rosso. Stop for a second. Okay, I actually had Mike Rapoli, on as far as coming to Babson College, And I said to him, I bought a Vino Rosso. He said, I got some great names for you. I said, sorry. I said, Steve Bick's group has the first shot at it.
Well, Len, I'm going to be embarrassed here when you announce the decision, I think, because I
just
feel like I feel like I usurped this away from everybody, and so
hey,
you have another horse.
Steve, I got to tell you, okay, if the name wasn't good, then John would say, I don't care who you are. I'm not naming a horse like that, okay? So, okay, I gave him the fact that Botaceous Chattas was still available. He said, no way.
Well, then, yeah, the Caesar Kim will beat you to that.
Yes,
Do you want to announce the name, or should I just tell everybody?
Just announce the name, but at least say that we had a number of people who contributed names, and it was a tough choice, but this is the winner, okay? And blame it on John Green.
Well, it's so amazing because when John gave the hip number and we pulled up the pedigree and saw Vino Rosso out of a hard-spun mare, wind-spun.
And
when I tell you, Len, the name popped in my head literally in 2 seconds, Cabernet Tornado, Cabernado. And John had not... It was 2 seconds it popped in my head.
Right. That it was meant to be.
I guess so. And so... that's why I'm so embarrassed that I came up with that name and I put it on Twitter and I put it on Facebook and I said, what did I win? But I thought somebody, you guys might come up with something different, but you like Cabernado and I'm thrilled to have named
it. I like Cabernado very, very much, kind of thing. And you would know that it has something to do with the Vino Rosso then, which you stayed within the right. I mean, come on. If people have said how many times, why did you call your horse Wonder Wheel? And it's kind of embarrassing to say, because my wife had a great excitement, going on the Wonder Wheel at Coney Island. I mean, it just has nothing to do with intermischief. This is a great name.
Too funny. I'm honored. I happen to love naming horses, this one I will follow with real excitement. and I do ask if there is another unnamed horse in the barn that you and John give our listeners a chance, and I will stay out of this one. I will not offer a suggestion so that a listener can name one of your horses.
Well, here's where we stand right now. Okay, we've named all the ones that we plan on racing, but we have pinhooked about 8 horses. Okay, so we put reserves on them. Okay, because we pick them out with the fallback position that if they don't sell, okay, at a profit above what we paid for them, we'll race them because they
right.
fit in that category. But a certain number of them, okay, we buy to resell kind of thing. So if they don't resell, okay, then at least one of them, then we'll put it back into your selection committee, okay?
How's All that? Right. I appreciate it. We got to give everybody an opportunity because I feel like I completely I snatched this out from under everybody, so I feel badly.
You shouldn't feel badly about a good name. You shouldn't feel badly about a good name.
No, I know. You're right.
Cabernet swinging around the vineyard.
I love
Very
it.
Good.
Well, let me couple of things, Len, for you today. And first of all, congratulations over the weekend. Nice win at Woodbine.
It really, really was. That's another, you know, again, before I praise John too much, he's done a really fabulous job on the horses. I guess he's spending about 50, 60 hours a week on them, which is about 40 hours more than I used to spend on them, okay, per week. Kind of thing. And it shows. I mean, if you stay on top of this, and we have a number of 2-year-olds, and each of them has proven to be that you have to have patience, and you know, they just mature at a different time and a different age. But the idea of not breaking them at a normal farm where they break horses for sale and racing, it makes a difference because those kinds of things tend to get horses ready a lot faster, because if you're going to be in a sale, you better be able to do that 1 furlong or 2 furlongs, you know, real fast kind of thing. And the race horses, you can take your time with. So we've changed that now, and they're all being, and the yearlings go directly to Mark Cassie's track, okay, which he has down in Ocala, which has his own track. Okay, so they can work at their own pace. Okay, they don't have to share it, and he can watch it, and he can monitor it, and it's proven to be another real plus. And I think you have to continue to do that all the time, not only for tax purposes, because you have to have a plan, but in reality, okay, I think you really have to keep on examining each part of your program and saying, what can you tweak it to do something different?
That, you know, that's something we discussed. Yeah, we talked that over, in fact, when we were at Keeneland, in terms of the approach and, you know, being able to, you know, to maneuver and you know, have some versatility and have options, a big part of success and changing with the marketplace. That actually leads us to a perfect you know, corollary from the win. The win was Renegade Rebel, by the way, in the Mazarine, yes. A Nyquist filly out of a hard-spun mare that was a Shadwell bred. Len, a couple of things. We got about 10 minutes. The year-end is coming, and I'd love yep. for you to give everybody a couple of suggestions about what they should be cognizant of between now and the end of the year in terms of, you know, getting organized and making any adjustments to, you know, what will be their, you know, their 2022 tax ramifications. And then, as it happens, we're together on Giving Tuesday, on a lot of charitable donations going on. How do people utilize donations from a tax perspective with today in mind?
Yeah, and just we'll sneak in a little bit. A tax court case came down called Skolnick versus Commissioner that the IRS won, but in my mind, it's a disguised victory for the taxpayers, because it clearly showed that if Skolnick had done certain things, he would have won the case. So again, just briefly, kind of, if I have a minute or so, just to briefly say, it's very important that you check these boxes. Okay?
Sure.
You got it. Okay. And one of the boxes is they ought to listen to your show.
Thank you.
What else? I'm being serious for a second. Okay, one of the things that the commissioner banged down on was they didn't have a plan, and they weren't staying current with what other people were doing in the industry, and you know, and you have to put in 100 hours or so. This counts, believe it or not, as part of the 100 hours because you're very up to date on things, and it's not fluff. It's real.
That's a fair point. And in fact, you know, the HISA, the continuing education, the reference, that's a great point. I hadn't thought of the show as credit hours, but I guess that's a fair point.
It is, okay. And also, more people ought to advertise on it because we have done. Your audience is just tremendous. I didn't realize how big it was and how far stretched it is because we're getting clients from all over the country.
I love hearing that. Thank you. Thank you, Len.
Hey, come on. This is true. I'm in a position in life. I don't have to say anything that I don't believe in.
That's true.
And then John John's in a position that he doesn't care. You know, if you don't like what he's saying, then just cut him off the air. Okay, kind of thing, because he speaks his perfect awesome. I'm ready for you, my friend.
What was there? All right, what else can we, year-end, give everybody some year-end suggestions and the notations today for charitable gifts. How do they keep track of that?
Yep. You tell me when I'm on.
Go ahead, you're good.
Okay. Hey, great to be on the show. Okay, the year-end is coming, okay, and your listeners should be aware of a couple of very important things. Okay, number one, okay, right now, something called bonus depreciation, which means anything that you buy and take title to as far as a fixed asset, you can write the whole thing off before December 31st. Okay, so again, if you have yearlings, then start having them be trained, because if they are being trained, then they're eligible for the 100% write-off. Okay. Number two, it goes back to being reduced to 80% for 2023. So again, if you're planning on buying something, okay, either equipment or even a horse privately, et cetera, kind of thing, as long as you take title to it in 2022, you can write off 100% of it. So that's very, very important, okay? You can set up a pension plan, okay, even though you don't have to pay for it, okay, until you file your return, which could be next October. You still get a tax deduction as of this year, okay? Also, okay, if you're going to, if you have a bill that's due on January 1st, like a training bill or insurance bill or a feed bill or stall rentals, we always say you can also prepay your accounting fee. Again, if you cut your check as of December 31st, it's December 31st. The other big area is as far as charitable deductions are concerned, not only, okay, giving horses to things like New Vocations and other things which we have done, all right, but there's so many of these very worthwhile charities that are there, okay, that if you, okay, cut your check, okay, as of December 31st and send it to them, you're not only getting the tax deduction, but on top of that, okay, you're doing something really great to give back to this business, okay? So, again, those are very important items to be thinking about before year end, okay? And then number two, okay, a case just came down called Skolnick, S-K-O-L-N-I-C-K, versus the commissioner. And most of the articles that are being Rittner saying, great victory for the IRS because they declared Skolnick was doing a hobby and they disallowed all of his expenses. But in reality, Steve, it's a disguised victory for taxpayers in the horse business because the case lays out what you could have done differently, what they didn't do, but what they could have done differently, and if they had done them differently, they would have gotten a different result. So again, without going through the entire case, okay, there's about 10 things that your listeners ought to be thinking about as a checklist. Do they have this? And if they don't have it, not only is it good for tax purposes, but if they're going to be profitable, they really ought to be thinking about these kinds of things because they're standard operating procedure for most businesses. Number one, do you have some kind of business plan or strategy? Number two, do you operate it as a business activity? What did Skolnick do wrong? He had a personal checking account that he wrote some of his checks out of. He bought some of the items, okay, out of his personal account that he tried to take a tax deduction for, horses that he was going to use personally that he tried to take a tax deduction for. Establish your own account, business account, for your operations. Be an LLC so that you definitely are operating it and you can look at all the bills and going through it and make sure it's business, okay, related kind of thing. Have advisors who are in the business. Have accountants and lawyers and things who know the business instead of just, okay, doing the legal time. Spend at least 100 hours on it. And if you're in a partnership with your wife, then 50-50 might make the 100 also kind of thing. Listen to shows like this, and I'm not just plugging it for you. There's so much great information that comes through this. And it counts not only in your business planning, but it also counts by your hours, okay? And then change your plan around. If you're losing money buying yearlings, well, then think of buying weanlings or thinking about buying two-year-olds or think about buying broodmares, okay? If you're breeding to the same kind of mare, bringing the mares to the same kind of stallions every year, think about changing. Maybe you're better off breeding to first-year sires, if you're going to sell, or do mare sharing, just all those things come into play. Yes, you can have some personal pleasure out of it, but if the main reason for doing it is business, then I mean, for instance, the Skolnick, okay, bought land, okay, for a farm. That's a wonderful area for profit and loss because the IRS now allows. If the land appreciates in value, you can take that appreciation into concern. So what did he do? He bought farms that he didn't use for the horse operation. You know, he did everything wrong. And he, in my opinion, he deserved to lose. How's that sound?
No, it sounds great, and that's why you know we were ostensibly getting together to announce the name of the horse. But between this being Giving Tuesday and the charitable part of it, and plus the stake win you had, and then you came with Skolnick too. So, Len, as always, every visit always helpful for horse owners and for people that are operating in any capacity. In the game, and the Green Group, as I've said, a huge help to me and to our stable, and that all our work has saved us all kinds of money. And Len and his staff just so helpful, and they ask the right questions. They, they get after you if you're poorly organized, like I have been. They'll get you straightened out in a hurry, Len. I really appreciate it. Thanks so much for giving us the
opportunity.
Wait a second.
What's the name of the horse? What's the name of the horse?
Cabernato.
Okay.
Cabernato. Yeah. Well, Cabernato.
I want to make sure everybody hears it because I assume they're going to start betting on it. Okay. We'll keep on sending you some updates right now. Okay. It's now in the stage where it's on the track and working. Okay, nice and slowly, but it's building up okay, and we'll keep you informed and keep your listeners informed, okay? I'm assuming that when it starts its first race, you'll do like all the other big of operations like My Racehorse, okay, where they end up betting every one of their horses down to 2-1 or something like that, right?
Well, there was the horse that Joe Besseker named for us, for Bick, that did go off at even money. So I suppose there's a chance that could happen.
Right. And again, make sure you get your numbers in. I mean, whoever your accountant is, okay, don't send it to him in next February, March, or April. Send it to me your estimates now, because see what you should be doing so you take advantage of some of these things. And if you are buying horses, okay, try to or buying equipment for it. You want to get the 100% tax deduction for bonus depreciation, because it reduces to 80% next year. And if you want to do a pension plan or something like that, get it established now, okay? Because if you establish it before the end of the year, then you have it till next October to make payments, and it still counts. So, again, these are really important things. There's no reason to just think of this thing as, I'll send it to my accountant, whoever he is, you know, next March or April, because it's too late then.
Len Green, everybody, the Green Group, and DJ Stable. Len, best wishes for a terrific holiday season. Thanks so much. Look forward to seeing you over the winter.
And again, next year, okay, if this works out with this horse, okay, you guys got to pick another name, okay?
You got it. Absolutely. Len Green,
okay,
everybody.
Buddy.
Len, thanks so much. Okay. We'll take a top of the hour break. Andy Serling is going to join us next, and later, Daryl Vienna to pay tribute to Jed Cohen. Rancho Temescal, Red Baron's barn, who we lost over the weekend. So Daryl Vienna in this hour, as well as Aaron Crady to kind of bring the whole Giving Tuesday full circle. We talked earlier this morning to Stacy Clark Rogers and the TAA, so we'll get kind of a little bit more of a human side of things as well with the Thoroughbred, or I should say Thoroughbred Charities of America. All right? Hour 3 at the races, back after this.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Here in Pennsylvania, we're proud of our breeding program, the best in North America. But we're also proud to be leaders in this industry. The PA Horse Breeders Association is funding cutting-edge research at Penn Vet into equine health and safety. And we endorse the SAFE Act to help protect the most vulnerable horses. Plus, we're pleased to support the aftercare programs set up by our horsemen's groups. Just a few of the reasons why you should join us in Pennsylvania, the premier place to breed and race.
Who are you betting on? How about an app created specifically for horse racing? Naira Bets. We specialize in thundering hooves, fist pumping, and boosting your bankroll with robust weekly promotions, and offer betting tips from actual horse racing experts. Bet all day and night, nationwide. Get the action and thrill of horse racing with Naira Bets.